Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for coming. We appreciate to have such a full room today. It's very nice. Tells us that there's interest in similar kind of problems, probably, than the ones we are trying to solve. I hope your FOSDEM experience is going pretty well. And let's try to enjoy it. If you have questions, we're going to try to leave some time at the end. So yeah, let's dive in. Before I can talk about Hadron, I need to talk a little bit about Keras, because you need to understand the context of why these lessons and what is it exactly that we learn in that process. So what is Keras? Keras is, we can call it a framework or a toolkit that takes most known, we could say, Linux distributions and transform them from their traditional OCI image into image-based immutable system, or what we call nowadays immutable system or special purpose operating systems. It's very nice because we try to be open to as many distributions as we can cover. That means you can start with Ubuntu, with Debian, with OpenSUSE, and most of these, as long as there are some small requirements like running certain init system and such. And it is declarative. That means that you start with Docker files, and it is and container-based, like I was mentioning. And you use YAML for the configuration. It's very similar to Cloud Init. It's like a subset of Cloud Init, which for us is a feature because a lot of our workloads are for people running cloud-native workloads. So that means they don't have to learn a new tool. And like I said, we run Kubernetes or traditional Linux workloads. And the main goal of the project is to simplify day two operations. So the idea is that you get, for example, Atomic AB upgrades, and if for some reason one of the upgrades didn't work, you still have your passive image that your system running at the edge doesn't all of a sudden stop working, but you have more resilience on those systems, plus other features. And we are 100% open source. There's no hidden feature behind a paywall or anything like that. We are, at the moment, a CNCF sandbox project, looking forward to keep growing in the ecosystem. Who makes Keras? We're basically five maintainers at the moment. We have 10 official contributors, plus all the other people that have come and share a little bit of their contributions as well. We have, at the moment, two organizations backing us up. That is Mirantis is backing up one maintainer, and Spectre Cloud is backing up four maintainers. And we have had three stakeholders until now. This is people who came for a certain period of time, made sure that a certain feature that was useful for them was working, and then they didn't need to continue contributing there. Yeah, my name is Mauro Morales, and I'm going to give now the mic to my colleague here.
Hi, I'm Dimitris. Yep. So, Keras, initially we didn't think we would have to build a distro, because Keras' main idea is that it's distribution agnostic, so it takes the distribution of your choice and converts that to an immutable OS and adds all the Keras features on top, day two operations, it makes it immutable, you have AB upgrades and all, and some features which cannot be put on top of all the distributions, and that's what we're going to discuss next. But the main differentiator compared to the other similar projects is that it's not a distro. So you can use your own distro, whatever you have contracts with or you have familiarity with and such. So the previous slide already showed the distributions we're trying to base on, but there on top you have flavors with or without Kubernetes. We have two distributions of Kubernetes out of the box, K0S and K3S. And then you have different boards, different architectures which we support, and finally, I mean, you have a BIOS-based device or EFI. So that creates a big matrix. You imagine all these combinations. You have to produce artifacts, and we're talking images here, even cloud images, and these are all big artifacts. We end up with almost 400 artifacts on each release, which is fine. That's what we're supposed to do. The one thing you can't easily do, because it cannot be automated, is to support all the features on all the flavors. Each distribution makes its own decisions on what it wants to support. For example, some of them are based on OpenRC, some others on systemd. And that means, okay, you can actually bring all the features, but you have to implement them yourself, which is a very hard task. So we support what we can on what we can. That's why not every distribution gets the same features. Yep.
Yeah, so of course you can imagine that after a couple of years of doing every release around 400 artifacts, we start hitting the same walls every now and then. So there were some lessons learned along the way. The first one is that surface area matters. And just to give you an example of what we're trying to talk about here is that whenever there's a CVE and there's a patch from upstream, all of our users have to build our new image, or we build the image for them sometimes, but the point is that a process of image building has to happen, and then a process of upgrade. This might not be a problem if you're running in a data center where you have unlimited bandwidth. Maybe it's an annoyance at most, but it's not a problem for you. But what happens when you're running at the edge, which is one of the main use cases that we have at Kairos? Well, you might not have very good network, and in those scenarios, you don't want to be upgrading that often, but you still want to remain secure, right? So what we analyze is that one of the main factors impacting us is the C library. So we looked at the different distributions, and we saw, for example, that Alpine, just to give you an example, at the moment that we were making these slides, had 6 CVEs found versus GNU C library, which had 157. By the way, this is not a comparison into saying what's good and what's bad, not at all. What we're trying to say here is the state of things. So that means that with Muzzle, we had to build less images less often. The other thing is that in terms of size, Muzzle is 1/5 of the new library. And that means that for the finalized image gets to be a lot smaller. And again, if you're at the edge, you want the smallest image possible. So, okay, we said, fantastic, let's do everything with Alpine only, right? But of course, that's not the truth.
Yeah, so we based this on the assumption that we would have 2 microphones. We wouldn't rotate so much. So yeah, like we said, the components you have drive the features you can build on. So like we said before, some distributions are based on systemd, some others on OpenRC. One of the main features, and actually if you're familiar with this blog post from Leonard Pottering, is an implementation of that, I would say, is what we call Trusted Boot. And at least the middle part, the measured boot part, is based on systemd. So, okay, you could implement it on OpenRC, I guess, if you wanted, but it comes out of the box, and we're trying to use the components as they come. We don't have the capacity to implement everything on everything, right? So one of the main features is based on that. That's why, for example, we have this feature on systemd boot-based flavors. But as you see, Alpine is not one of them. So the idea we had, let's build everything on Alpine, is not valid. So we're in this situation, this trilemma situation, where you have 3 things and you get to choose only 2. So if you wanted small footprint, let's say Muzzle for this scenario, and you wanted the Kairos experience, I would say, yeah, you can get the Kairosified Alpine. You could get the measured boot feature with the Kairos experience if you get one of the others, but we didn't have anything for the combination of small footprint and measured boot, or for all of them, if you could dare wish for that. But there is one project that actually did that at the same time we did that, and that's PostMarket OS, and we thought about going back and say, okay, why not Kairosify PostMarket OS? But like we said, when projects have different goals, it's very hard to align. So if PostMarket OS decides to make some, changes or compile the kernel differently or whatever, we could base everything on, the slide, yeah. But if they make some choices, it may break it for us. And it happened before that some patches they did, for example, in Ubuntu. Ubuntu was running fine on Raspberry Pi with Kairos on top. But at some point, because they don't use U-boot, when Ubuntu runs on Raspberry Pi, they didn't care about a specific flag in the kernel compilation, which we cared about because we use U-boot. And it kind of broke Kairos with Ubuntu on Raspberry, and other things like different versions, older versions of systemd and things like that. So you don't really control what you get. You get what you get, and it's better to stay upstream first and not have to patch things, like we said. So yeah, I mean, the next idea, I think, is obvious.
Yeah, so we went back to the drawing board and we said, okay, what if we build it ourselves, right? Like famous last words. How hard can it be? It's just the Linux kernel muscle. Sorry, I said those two words together. Plus systemd and minus patches. Turns out it's a lot harder than what it seems. And but as we heard, there were some projects doing that. Unfortunately, we found out too late. Now we finally got to meet here in Fosdem, and maybe we get to collaborate in the future. But in the meantime, we decided, okay, let's do it. Let's build Hadron. What is Hadron? It's the core, as I was mentioning, is Muscle, systemd, and vanilla Linux kernel. Thanks to now the patches that have been contributed to systemd with Muscle, that also works really well for us. For booting, you get two options. You either get the booting with Trusted Boot with EFI, or you get a traditional, what we call standard boot with Dracut and Grub. And we try to stay as aligned to any of the projects we use as much as possible. So if they make a change, recently we were checking that the day after there is a patch upstream, we were already having it in our pipelines, which is really cool. But now if you notice, we spoke about the main components, and the main components doesn't even include a package manager. So, of course, that is very small, which is very useful, but we still need to have ways in which we can upgrade our systems and so on. And that's the part that plays really well for us with Kairos, because we had already implemented all of that. So the two of them work together so that we can do the proper lifecycle management like we were doing with all the other distributions. So you again get all the AB atomic upgrades, you get the rollbacks if something falls back, you get Kubernetes if you needed to, we can do upgrades through Kubernetes and so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, we realize it's not that our distribution is gonna come and solve all the problems. That's actually not an option. What we realized is that we need to still be using all of those distributions, but there was a small segment there in the middle where we needed small footprint, measure boot, and cloud life management that we didn't have before. And now with Hadron, we can cover that part. But whenever our users are gonna come and say like, no, we have reasons to keep using, for example, Red Hat or SUSE because we pay licenses and we're in a, I don't know, we're going in government or whatever, then they are going to stay with that. We're going to continue providing the exact same support that we've been provided all up until now for all of those distributions. The same thing if someone, because their team already had a certain know-how and they want to continue with Ubuntu, they can keep doing that. But the difference is that we had cases where some people were coming to us, look, we're buying machines off the shelf, you know, nothing fancy, small nooks or whatever, and they come with old firmwares that cannot boot 200 meg, more than a 200 meg image. Then now we can provide to them a solution through Hadron. That's basically the reasons why we build it. The reason why we bring it here is because we think through the community is the best way to improve this work. So we want to get feedback from you guys, questions. Like I was saying, we met with the people from Postmarket and we found out things we have in common. We would like to know more what we have in common. If we don't have to build the distribution ourselves, we will not do it, of course. But in this case, it still makes sense for us. But yeah, it's up to the community as well to reach out like we're trying to reach other projects and figure out in which ways we can work together. And that's it. If there are any questions, we're happy to answer them. Thank you.
Distributing Hadron, did an OCI image by itself,
The question is, how are we distributing Hadron? Yes, we right now build artifacts on GitHub, and they are through their packages. You can download the OCI images.
Yep. But also ISOs, we also produce releases.
We also produce whenever. So Hadron on its own might not be very useful in that sense, unless you want to build from scratch all your packages and all of that. The easiest is that the Kairos releases will have already the full, yeah, the Kairosified version of Hadron, and you can download that like traditionally we were distributing Kairos in GitHub as well. Yeah. Yes?
So how much more is the Hadron Kairos image than a Ubuntu, for example? How much do you save overall?
Yeah, how much smaller is a Hadron image? That's a good and tricky question because these are not... sometimes people try to compare them just by spinning up Ubuntu container, for example, or any other container. And you have to think that in this case, when you have the Hadron containers, they already have everything necessary to be Kairosified. So it's not a apples to apples, but more like an apples to oranges. But yeah, basically the smallest we have gone at the moment, I think it's 11 megs for an image. And once it's put on the system, of course, I think we're talking about 145 megs because you have to think it has to come with an active, passive, and recovery image altogether. So it only makes, what I'm trying to say, sorry, that is really long, is that it only makes sense to compare it once it's in the system and compare it against other Kairos systems, which before with Ubuntu used to be easily 1 gig or something like that. For us, it's very significant. Yes? Very good question. What's the preferred way to extend the Hadron? We're trying to base ourselves, like we like to say, in the shoulders of giants. A lot of this work is based, for example, on systemd. So we promote that people use systemd sys extensions. That could be one way. Why? Because we already provide the trusted mechanism. That means that you could also sign your extensions and make sure that everything in your stack is really only the software that you want to run there. But at the end of the day, it's a Docker file, so you can do it any way you want. You can download binaries and copy them somewhere, or you can build them yourself within your Docker file. So it really depends on your needs and what's more practical for you. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.